a good day to you on this Open Mic Friday, August the 7th in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm Tom Baker, and this is an opportunity for you to phone in with any question that might be on your mind of a theological nature. The numbers are in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll-free, 1-800-730-2727. Don't call me in about the Republican debate last night between the contenders for the presidency, because I did not watch very much of it. And anyway, it's a lot of politics sometimes. But if you have any other question of a theological nature, don't hesitate to phone. Yesterday with the Reverend Wes Reimnitz, we were talking about how parents can prevent their children from becoming nuns. And we aren't talking about the black-robed ladies of the Roman Catholic Church. We're talking about N-O-N-E-S. That is, those individuals who, though maybe once a member of some denomination, now no longer attend church, and they belong to the denomination of nuns. Now, this includes atheists and agnostics, but I say the majority of nuns may even be Christian, but they're just kind of fed up with what they hear in church. I mean, you can only listen to Joel Osteen so long before you recognize what a sham that is. Very few people stay members of that church for very long, because they find out, you know, no matter what their faith, they still don't get the cars he has, the money he has, the wife he has, the house he has, and the reputation he has. And so it begins to fall on deaf ears. But in attempting to keep your youth, your children, in the faith, you need to continue to use the means by which God keeps children in the faith, and that is word and sacrament. If you're a Lutheran church has a Sunday school, you certainly want to be sending your children there. And of course, it's always a good idea, and we pastors do this in confirmation for the confirmation kids who are usually in grade 7 and 8. What we have them do is summarize the sermon. In fact, the way I would do it, I would ask them, what is the law of that sermon? What is the gospel of that sermon? Now, perhaps I just got a call last night talking to an individual from out of state, one of our listeners, who's a pastor, does not have long gospel sermons, and he's really not being fed. But we talked about it at length, and gave him some suggestions. Perhaps he'll talk to the pastor about getting him starting to read items where he'll get more involved with law and gospel. But our numbers, as I said, are 821-0850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. So, if you're calling in right now, we're looking forward to talking to you, and we're ready to go to the phone lines, and we're going to be talking to Steve. Steve, you're on the air.
Good morning. Rather than a nun, what would you call somebody like me who's in between church groups? We belong. I mean, I go to church still. I go to Bible studies. I read the Bible. I pray every day. But I'm kind of in between churches and kind of in between groups. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not Lutheran. I'm not Baptist. I'm not Methodist. So I'm not a nun. What would that be? And also, the reason I started is because the church we were in was kind of became too liberal for our views. I don't know if that's a good word to use. It's not a political thing. It's just they didn't follow the Bible the way I read the Bible. But I think that may have hurt my child's faith a little bit, my second child, who was in the church with us when that was going on.
Yes. So, that's why you leave a church. When I talk to nuns, those who have left a church, I ask them, what has the church taught? And a number of times I said I would have left that church also. So you would be characterized as a nun at this point, but I don't consider you that. I think you're a seeker. In other words, you're still a Christian, but you're trying to find a home where the Word of God is preached in its purity, the sacrament is administered rightly, where when the family leaves the worship service, all of them say, you know, I was really comforted by what I heard. I not only listened and heard some new things I've never heard before, but I was comforted. I tell my members, let's say they, when they were here in St. Louis, let's say they moved to a large city like Los Angeles. I say, do not choose a church immediately unless you know the pastor or have some friends there, but go and visit a number of them until you find one with which you are comfortable in its teachings and so forth. So what I see you doing is what every Christian should do when they are kind of fed up with the congregation they're at and are seeking other places. I don't see any problem with this at all.
It's really difficult, though, because you leave so many friends, you know. But it's, the church is not just because of friends, although I think Jesus was, you know, that was part of his thing was, hey, you know, be loving and friendly with people. But there's more to it than that. So it was really hard to do. But
well,
anyway.
When I was at my congregation in University City, we had a lot of people join who were black. In other words, our congregation was somewhat black, but not that much. So they hardly knew anybody there. But I'll tell you, with the events that we had going, we'd have potlucks, we'd have a choir, we'd have Bible studies during the week. It didn't take them long at all to get new friends. And in fact, some of them would have their former friends come over and visit. And we had even some of them join the church. So don't worry about not having friends, or particularly for your children. God will work that out.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. God bless. Anybody else can call? Our numbers here are 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, when I talk about seeking, there's two things you should be seeking. Number one, does the church preach the Word of God in its purity or in its accuracy? That can be figured out before you even visit a particular congregation. If they're a member of, let's say, the Methodist Church, be aware that they don't believe in the Lord's Supper the way the Bible says it. If they're a member of a Baptist church, be aware that they don't believe in baptizing infants. And you can go through a number of churches and know. So for me, the only church really you should be visiting are Lutheran churches affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For example, we are in sister fellowship with some denominations here, because at least you'll be sure that their confessional status is correct. However, you still want to hear the sermons, etc. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Let me think about that. I guess okay.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Thank you.
But anyway, no, I have a question I want to ask you. You know, you were talking about Abraham, and it was credited to him as righteousness because he believed in God's promise, you know? But you know that phrase, credited to him as righteousness, to me that sounds kind of confusing. Don't you think it would be better to say that he was vindicated? Because by believing in God's promises, he was vindicated because, you know, Isaac did, you know, come into existence.
Well, there's no doubt about that he was credited. Let me give you this example. Let's say you go to court because you were said to be going over the speed limit. And then you bring the policeman up there and you ask him, did you tune your, with a tuning fork, did you tune your radar equipment? He says, no, I forgot to do that. And the judge looks at you and says, Mike, you are credited with being free to go. You're still guilty, but because of a technicality, you are credited as being innocent. This is what happened to Abraham. he was credited as being righteous, even though he is not righteous, because through his faith, he trusted the promises of God, and that's how God declares a person to be righteous, by means of their faith. So that's how I would use the word. He really wasn't vindicated of his sin. That occurred when Jesus died on the cross. But to say that he was reckoned as righteous, credited as righteous, think of that court situation, and you'll have a good idea what we're talking about.
I don't know. That sounds confusing to me because, I mean, because he believed in the promise, and of course the promise was that Isaac would be born.
Right.
And he was vindicated into believing it because it happened. But when you say he was credited with righteousness, I mean, that has nothing to do with his sins. I mean,
that's the point. That's why in Christianity, your works or your sins no longer count as to whether you're going to heaven or hell.
I wouldn't be too sure of that if I were you. But
well,
I'll
then,
think about what you said.
What does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The gift of forgiveness is for you, Mike. Do you think God still considers you as one who has to pay for his sins?
Well, that's a hard. I mean, depends on what you mean by that. I mean,
pay eternal condemnation.
Well, I would put it this way. I mean, okay, let's just say I got to heaven and I didn't like it, which is a real possibility because we know that one-third of the angels left heaven because they didn't like it. So then what happens then?
Well, your new body, this mortal, will put on immortality. You will have a new spirit. I guarantee you will like it. You will love it. And you will be very happy that you are not back on earth. That's the point. Let's go back to the next phone caller and talk to James. James, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor.
How you doing? Been a while.
I'm doing well. I was just thinking back. I heard your last call, and I was just thinking back to some of the things that Pastor Spomer had taught over the years as he would come on the radio station and ask to kind of ask for forgiveness or repent for your presuppositions before you engage in any type of questions about theological matters, because you want to know that you do have those prejudgments and those presuppositions based on.
Oh, that's well said, yes. What you got yourself?
Yeah. So today, I'd like to know, I'd like for you to get Zechariah verses 7, chapter 7, verses 8 through 12. That's Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 12.
Well, why do you choose a Bible verse and I got to look it up in the index? Haven't you ever heard of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Well, I always come to you with the Old Testament, Pastor, because I like to get some current application for these Old Testament passages.
All right, and what's your question on it?
Well, my question is, does the law demand social justice today? And if so, is it the responsibility of Christendom to proclaim this truth? And I mean the truth that is found in the verses of Zechariah 7, 8 through 12. It seems that the Lord is demanding social justice there. And I guess my question is that, is it the responsibility of Christians and the church today to proclaim this kind of social justice?
All right, let me always define terms. What do you mean by social justice? Because those terms aren't in Zechariah.
No, those terms are not in Zechariah, but it talks about, and I don't have my Bible before me, but it talks about a demand for justice and compassion towards us different groups.
Well, would that not be just a summary of the second table of the commandments, the first being, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor? Isn't that social justice?
Yes.
In fact, I was just reading an interesting Lutheran Witness, the official periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and the title on the front was something along the lines, God Works Through You. And we call this the area of sanctification, that once you are a Christian, you have such love for Jesus that you also have love for people. And therefore, social justice, from the Bible's point of view, would be helping people deal properly and justly in the social realm. So if somebody is working for you, you wouldn't cheat them out of their wages. That's one of the things in Zechariah. Or that you would take care of the widows, etc. That's definitely part of the Christian task. It just has nothing to do with whether you go to heaven or not.
Okay, so there are no punishment, or I don't know if punishment is the right word, but is there any discipline for not doing it?
Oh, yes, yes. Remember, every time you do a sin, there are negative consequences that occur in your life. So if you see someone in need and you do not help them when you are able to, then that will come back and bite you somehow. There's just no doubt about it. God says that he will bring judgment here to people on earth. So there are temporal consequences to your negation of social justice.
Okay, so I guess then my question, if I would reword it, is the church proclaiming that loud enough? And I'm going to go back with Ed. Could you read those verses for us and help us understand it a little better?
Okie doke. Thanks so much for calling here. The verses are kind of long. I don't want to read the whole thing there. Anybody can look that up in Zechariah. But God is just telling his people to be faithful and to be righteous. And he says, like in verse 10, before those days there was no wage for man or any wage for beast, neither was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came. But then listen to this, for I set every man against his neighbor. And then he says, no, I'm going to deal differently with the remnant of this people. There shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, etc. So, at least as I'm looking at this, there are some important passages here. But I think what James is really talking about is chapter 7, verse 8. Render true judgment, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. That's basically the summary of the second table of the commandment, which means commandments 5 or 4, honor your father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, etc. through 10. And so I would say that's the life of sanctification. What does God want you to do with this faith that you have found in Jesus? And that is to also love your neighbor. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk with Herman. Herman, you're on the air.
Yes, Pastor. You talk about people looking for churches where there's a solid biblical law and gospel teaching. You're seeing a phenomenon today that even denominational labels that it would indicate that they are a biblical-based church may not be true with liberal pastors, and even among what are called some liberal denominations, there can still be biblically-based pastors as well, as you could have people in the church who came into a congregation with a solid pastor, but for various reasons, retirement, another call, they're gone and they're replaced with someone who's not staying with Scripture. And this is the landscape, it would seem to be, that people are facing today.
Well, let me maybe question, maybe I misunderstood you, that there could be true teaching in false denominations. Let's take the Baptist Church. I would say 90 to 95% of what a Baptist might say would be in agreement with the Scripture, but then he denies the sacraments of the Lord's Supper, infant baptism, etc. Are you suggesting that even though they're 90% correct, that that ought to be a church they should look at?
No, I'm just making.
Okay, I misunderstood you then.
Coming in, and that even those who've looked for solid biblical churches, and even they may go among many different ones, but you can see this today. Things are just, let's say, unstable.
Yes. Yeah, I see your point. And would you suggest anyone looking elsewhere than a Lutheran church of a confessional nature?
No.
No, I wouldn't either. Because as far as I know, only the Lutheran church has the doctrine summarized from the Bible in a correct way. No other denomination does. You can name any other denomination, I will tell you its particular false teaching somewhere along the line.
Yes, the Orthodox Lutheran writings based on the scriptures maintain that clarity and standard.
Well, yes, and we even had in our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod a professor who was denying creation, wanted women ordination. Now, recently, he has now left the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but while he was still a member, he was preaching those kinds of things from the pulpit. And that's why you need to be really careful. Just because a pastor is affiliated with a denomination with whom he has made vows that he will follow their teachings doesn't mean that he's going to do that. And that's why I really suggest that before you join a congregation, you might attend their worship, their sermons, sit down with the pastor, ask him pointed questions, because as Steve made clear, your children are at risk if you go to a denomination or a worship service where the true word of God is not preached accurately.
Well, that example you just gave is certainly what I was referring to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good for calling. And we're not going to be able to take any more calls because of our time, and I've got a couple of things I want to share with you. The main point I want to share is the way parents prevent children from moving into a situation where they no longer are happy about going to church. The main way they do that is by talking about the Word of God at home. I'll tell you, if you've got a little child who can start to read, Concordia Publishing House, namely our publishing company of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has a wonderful book where it goes through the entire Bible in 1 year, 365 days. When I was a child, my parents gave me a book about a neighborhood group of kids. And it had nothing to do with religion, but they had all kinds of activities and adventures. I think for a while I thought they were real, you know, because I would read it every night. It was 365. When I got my children, Louise and I, we gave them or read to them from this book, 365 Days Bible Stories. And they know the Bible very well. Now, they know the Bible. Those stories don't make it clear how to apply it to their lives. And so that's what we would hope to do through the Sunday school, through the confirmation, etc. So that's what I would do with little children. I would have them reading each night a Bible story. And these are written in such a way that little children can understand them. And at least when they get older then, and somebody talks about David and Bathsheba, they'll know who you're talking about. Now, how about older children? They're going to be going to perhaps colleges that deny the teaching of creation, instead teaching this nonsense about evolution. Well, that's why you'd want to maybe give them, like what we did, Answers in Genesis. It's a quarterly magazine that comes out, and it does wonderful, from a scientific point of view, how creationism is far superior than evolution, which is just a bunch of suppositions without any evidence at all. So, and I'm talking about macroevolution. I'm not talking about microevolution, where changes can occur within a species. So let's make clear about that. In other words, find out what your child likes. If they like reading, then give them those kinds of materials that will be helpful to them. If they like sports, well, get them involved with reading a book by a famous sports figure who is a Christian and does not hide his Christianity. Keep helping them by growing in the Word. Always have, especially when they're young, dinner with them to talk about how their day is and to share the message of God's Holy Word. This Sunday, I'm going to be at Rosebud 8:45 Bible study at their Lutheran church, and 10 o'clock worship service. And on Monday, we're going to take a look at the three lessons, how Jesus appears in every lesson, Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel. Till then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.